Well, welcome, 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 Rugby League fans. Thanks for joining Rugby League in America. My name is Dustin Zaire. It's been an absolute pleasure to chat with everybody these past few weeks, to meet everybody out in Las Vegas. If you want to know my thoughts on Las Vegas and how I think everything went, go back and listen to the episode that Carbs and I did where our Rugby League worlds collided. I think it's pretty phenomenal what happened out in Vegas. I know people kind of talked about, oh, all this bad stuff and, numbers and things like that on viewership. But go listen. I'm working on full article write-up on what I thought it was like. So, give you a different perspective. You've listened to me, you've watched me, you've read some of my stuff. You know that I'm going to be critical, and you know that I'm also going to be honest and where I think the growth is going to happen. So if you want to hear that, you want to read that, stay tuned. That's going to be good stuff coming out. Carbs episode is already live and up and running, and it's great to have Carbs back behind the microphone again. So that was pretty fun to do, very early for me. So kind of a rough one. This episode is unique. Right, we always talk to people about rugby league who are involved in the U.S., who are involved in Canada, who are involved in Brazil and Argentina. By the way, I didn't forget about Argentinian Super League has started down there with their teams. So a couple weeks in, I'm working on getting some stuff up for them. But what I wanted to do this episode is talk to the people who are maybe unique to this situation, some new players, new advocates of the game. And this episode is dedicated solely to what happened before the NRL event. We'll call it the big show on Saturday night in Las Vegas. It's all about the combine. I'm excited. I get to sit down with two amazing athletes and talk about their experience in the combine and what they hope for rugby league moving forward in the future. So really, I really hope that this is kind of a catalyst in some ways. And I hope that you guys enjoy the interviews that are coming up. I will apologize ahead of time. For some reason, maybe it was all the talking we did in Las Vegas, the audio, both with Carbs' episode and with these next two episodes coming out, was pretty bad. Not quite sure what's happening. So we're working on it. My mixing board needs some loving right now. So working on it. Hopefully everything sounds great for you guys. I hope you guys enjoy these upcoming interviews. And I will touch base with you right after the second interview. Welcome back, everybody. Really appreciate you sticking with us as we talked about everything surrounding the Vegas event was enormous. All kinds of fun events. You had the fan events on Thursday night. You had nines and you had masters and international test matches. One of the events that that wasn't covered as much, which it was actually a pretty unique event in general, and it's kind of going to lead to what I think will be amazing growth and amazing opportunity, is the NRL Combine. And we're lucky enough, to have people that were part of the Combine join us. And the first guest that we have today was part of the men's group that was on there. I had 25 men, 25 women, or 20 and 20. I can't remember which one it was. So we're really happy that some of these guys are able to come and join us and talk. And so our first guest today is going to be Mikey Woolridge. He's from Saginaw Valley, Michigan, technically by way of suburbs of Detroit. So we'll give him, the Ohio in me will not give him too much crap. But Mikey, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Appreciate you having me on.
No, it's great. This is very unique, right? So, the podcast and this kind of show that we've had for the past couple of years, I guess past 9 years now or 8 years now, since it's been this version of the podcast, we're pretty excited because we've seen kind of this unique expansion, just very rapid expansion of rugby league knowledge. And it comes down now to this combine, which was for the first time ever, the NRL, invited players from around the country, not just rugby players and rugby league players, but like yourself, football players to take part and show off your athleticism for this chance to go play, or at least go train with an elite training group in Australia. you yourself, not a rugby union player, not a rugby league player, but a football player.
Yep.
And now you get the opportunity. You were one of the two selected to go to Australia and play. Let's just start. One, how did this even come to be? How did you get notified that this was going to happen?
So I got a random email early January, and it was basically saying that you've been identified as a potential prospect to come out to Las Vegas and compete in this combine. They asked me to fill out a couple of documents, and I filled them out, sent them back. And it wasn't till late February that, I got an email saying that I had been selected to go. And I think I wasn't,
you had short turnaround then. You didn't even,
Probably. I think I knew a week and a half before I had to go.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So, I wasn't expecting to get selected to go at all. I kind of just feel it as, you know, fill it out. It's like, okay, you know, it's just an opportunity, I guess. So right. if I get selected, I get selected. And if not, it's not a big deal. But I was definitely surprised to have gotten the email, especially that late.
So, I mean, obviously this is unique for you to fill out something like this, because, you know, you played football, for, you know, 4 years at Saginaw Valley State. For those who are listening, Saginaw Valley is, I'm like 99% sure it's a D2 athletic college. So not the top tier, but still, again, for those just listening, Mikey is a 6'4", 210-pound defensive back, which it's a pretty good-sized defensive back, I would say.
Yes, like, on the bigger side.
You're on the bigger side, so that's all right.
Yeah.
But and I don't know if there's any inflation on there, but that's the stats that Saginaw Valley gave. So maybe you bulked up a little bit or trimmed down a little bit since then.
I'd say it's pretty accurate.
Pretty accurate, right? So, I mean, but I think it's unique, right? Because this opportunity that was kind of presented is something that we as rugby league fans here in the U.S. have been screaming since day one. Is that, you know, a lot of the attention and a lot of the people say, oh, well, we'd love to pull like those players that don't go play in the NFL, you know, from a D1, like a top, you know, a top five school or top five conference D1 school, you know, we can pull them to come play rugby league. You know, where else are they going to go? But you are actually coming in from, and what I think is like, there's still a giant pool of really high level athletes playing D2. You yourself, you know, you were kind of mentioning just before we talked that you're still trying to find a way to make it to the NFL and going through your combines for the NFL and stuff, right?
Yeah. So like you said, I mean, my conference in Division II is one of the top D2 conferences in the nation. We get a lot of D1 guys that just come transfer to our schools. So the competition level is there. Like, well, I'm playing guys that went to Texas A&M, guys that went to these other, you know, just bigger name schools. So there's definitely high level athletes everywhere.
Right.
And yeah, I guess they found me. But yeah, with NFL and everything, you know, I just had my pro day, and I've been training for my pro day for the past 3 months. So
this opportunity ready to go for the combine for the NRL, you're like, oh, this is easy. I got this.
Yeah, literally. I really just took one day off of training. I left that Friday before the combine on Saturday, and I was back by Monday to continue my pro day training. So it really came in a good time, I guess. I was definitely a little sore
peak performance level right there.
right. Yeah. It was, I took it as a test for my pro day. You know, I wanted to go into the NRL combine, and treat it like my actual pro day, treat it like how I was going to, you know, stay focused, do my warmups, you know, just how I was going to perform, like just treat it like professional. Yeah. And I think that's what I did. And I think that's what helped, you know, not to knock any of the guys, but I think a lot of the guys were just almost more happy with the experience than trying to actually get a spot.
Yeah.
I don't think I was trying to get a spot, but I was definitely trying to do as best as I could because I wanted to see where I was at for pro day.
Right. Because, you know, obviously, for those that, don't know, you know, and Mike, we can talk about this, like just some of the tests that you guys had to run. Like, so not only did you guys have to, you know, we thought like throwing the medicine ball, you know, 3 kg medicine ball as far as you possibly could, you know, bench press, I think it was deadlift as well, neck strength and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, of all those events, you know, events or tests, what were some of the ones that you felt were a little more unique that you didn't get in your pro day?
Yeah. So there's actually a lot of different things in my NFL pro day that's different from the NRL combine. Number one, we did a medicine ball throw at the NRL combine. You don't do that for NFL pro day. And I don't think I had done something like that since like maybe my early days of college football. So I was definitely like on the sideline trying to like get my form and just trying to figure out a good way to throw it. Cause I didn't practice it at all. I really didn't practice anything going in besides maybe the bench and the 20 meter dash we did. And so at the NFL pro day, we do 225 pounds as many times as you can. And that's, and that's the bench test. For the NRL combine, it's just a 3-rep max. So it's much weight you can put on the bar for 3 reps. And I hadn't done anything like that.
Max out before.
Yeah, I haven't done anything like that in a long time. So I think maybe a couple of days before, the day before I left, I kind of got like a benchmark of what my numbers might be.
Yeah.
And then I think I ended up doing 275 three times at that combine. And then, you know, at the NFL pro day, it's 40 yard dash. And then at the NRL combine, it's a 20 meter dash. So I think that's maybe like 22, 23 yards or something like that. They told me I ran the fastest 20 meter of the day there. So
I can confirm that.
Yeah. So I wasn't expecting that, but
it's judging your, that initial like speed and takeoff, like
we call
it coming off the line basically.
Yeah.
So you know, as soon as the play of the ball happens, how fast can you get 10 meters basically is what you're trying to test.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I accelerate. I always consider myself like football fast. You know, you're in a 40 yard dash. Like most of the time, you're never going to run a 40 yard dash in playing football. Like, but you'll always run a good 10, 15, 20 yards, like pretty quick. So I think that's definitely a good, you know, number of kind of where I'm at, like where my speed's really at, because my top end could definitely use some work, but I'm quick when it comes to short distances. I can cover ground quick, you know? So,
so that's important. You know, I think, you know, obviously there were other events too. We talked about you got to do some actually rugby league drills, some tackling, some offloads. How was that in comparison to doing some football? You're already like,
So I played defense at Saginaw with football and everything.
So you're used to tackling people, right? You're already in tackling mode all the time.
Yeah, tackling is like second nature for me. I did not have a problem with it. It was actually way more fun to try to tackle without pads than it was with pads. It just feels more natural.
It's a different type of tackle.
Too. Yeah, and it feels more natural, honestly, and it feels a little bit safer. Those going to offense after not being an offensive player and was definitely a transition. I sucked at throwing the ball.
What is this ball? Like what?
I could not toss it. I didn't toss it very well. I couldn't pitch it back very well.
You did have 2 fumble recoveries and 2 interceptions in 2021. Yeah. Well, no,
I can definitely catch the ball. I can definitely catch the ball, but when it came to tossing it, I definitely could use some work. I actually asked them for a ball so that way I could try to practice it.
I'll be jealous because I didn't even get one of those pretty USA rugby league balls.
I tried to snag one and they caught me. Yeah.
On lockdown, they had those things.
Yeah, they called me. I tried to snag one, but they wouldn't let me. So,
right, so obviously, tackling for you on defense, not a big deal, but it's that uniqueness of rugby league where you're basically like old school high school. I don't know, like some old school high school, you're playing both sides of the ball type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I played quarterback in high school. So, I mean, I was used to having the ball in my hands. And when it came to like our one-on-one tackling and, you know, scoring a try, drills. Like I did really well in terms of beating defenders.
Nice.
But yeah, just I definitely need some work tossing the ball.
just gotta get your hands on
passing it.
Yeah.
I mean, and I was in the hotel the night before trying to get with some guys just to get the feel of it and everything. And you know, it's easy when you're just standing, but when you actually got to run and do it, it's a little bit different. So
it's like walking and chewing bubble gum, man. Because you had it because in the combine, like there were some football players, but then there were a couple, you know, there were a couple rugby players and a couple and like one or two rugby league players as well who were part of there. So you're trying to like work with them, like, okay, how do you throw this thing?
Yeah.
Like, how do you?
I was definitely trying to look around and see what other guys were doing. I don't think I ever actually got the hang of passing. But you know, when it came to reading defenders, when to pass, you know, we played the little 6v6 game, and like when to like stand your ground, when to attack, type of thing. It was very easy to pick up on. I think it was just it's just one of those things that I feel like could just come natural for me. So it was super fun. It was super fun.
There's lots of similarities, right? I mean,
yeah.
You know, I preach about this all the time. You know, we know there's two forms of rugby, and like mostly in America, when people talk about rugby, I mean, even yourself, we talked about just before you know starting a recording, like you know, rugby that you probably know is not rugby league. It's probably rugby union, where they have scrums and they have people throwing people up in the line out, and it's constant, like you know, you have people on the ground and the rucks and everything that happens like that. So it's not quite as it's a little harder to for a new fan or a new follower to understand. Whereas rugby league has a lot of those similarities, and you talk about like you know the offensive, we'll talk like offensive defensive line of scrimmage basically is the ball, and then you have kind of that initial collision that happens.
Yeah,
how do you think that helps you out from a football standpoint, or how easy was that to pick up initially, you know, just by either watching a few games leading to it or just being there?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, we played that 6v6 game. So there were some things I kind of had to learn on the fly. They did not really explain the rules at all. They were like, okay, this is where you stand. When you get tackled, you got to back up to the ref. And then once they like, you know, kick the ball through their legs, or I don't really know what it's called.
Play the ball.
When they play the ball, then you can go. And every single time somebody you get the six tries. I think they gave us six because we weren't kicking.
Six tackles.
Yeah. So that's really all they said. And so we kind of had a stacked team, I'm not gonna lie. there's some guys that had already played rugby, and then a couple guys that hadn't. So I was really just trying to listen to them. And they told me like where I need to be, where I need to stay, and then everything after that was just kind of just go tackle someone, don't let them score. When we get the ball, like just communicate, say where you're at. If you need to pass the ball out, you know you had somebody there. So it was super simple to really play. I know I don't think we had the most clean game in terms of like actually, you know.
There was some time,
ball going out of bounds and we're still playing. I'm like, I don't think that would be allowed, but it flowed really quick, and it was something that I was able to really get accustomed to fast. So if I had some more time, I definitely feel like it'd be something that it wouldn't be hard to adjust to at all.
Right. Well, how do you think, you know, just from you know, a fan perspective, as far as, you know, so you diehard football fan, you know, still with aspirations to play in the NFL with now this unique opportunity to play, you know, to go and train with a team in the NRL. Like that's a whole different, that's completely different, probably not even in your mindset 5 months ago type of thing.
Right. So 100%.
Like, sure, or, you know, even for in December, probably the end of the season for you and your college football career. You know, now with this opportunity, what was it like, or kind of like just getting acquainted with the game, and how do you think that transfers to, you know, new followers or other, you know, football players that you may know and say, hey man, you need to go check this out. Like, this is an opportunity.
No, I definitely talked to some of my teammates after. I was like, you could definitely go out there and play and maybe start something if you wanted to. But when I first started watching it, I like action. I like violence. I like the UFC, you know, things like that where people are getting hit. Like, I mean, I like football. I'm a football player. You know, I like to hit people. So when I saw it, like, I couldn't stop watching it just because it was, like I said, it was just constant action and it's quick too. I mean, there's no timeouts. I mean, there is timeouts, but like, you know, there's no stoppage really. And it's always going. So for me, like watching it, I loved it from the beginning. Yeah, 100%. You know, it's like soccer. It just kind of keeps going and then halftime and then you come back out and it's the same thing. And I like that about it. My fiance was trying to watch the games while we were there and she couldn't stop saying, "Oh my gosh, like, are you going to be okay? It's so violent.
You're fine.
Like,
you're fine.
It's so violent. They're hitting each other all the time." I'm like, "I promise you, it's not that bad." Like,
it was really funny actually, those games, because in that first game, you know, between Manly and the Rabbitohs, like, it was, there were like five people that got bloodied all around the same time. And like, my dad's watching back in Ohio and he's going, "Why is there so much blood everywhere?"
But
like, everybody's bleeding right now.
Yeah.
It's like the WWF where they would like cut themselves to bleed.
Right. Exactly. And it's that first game. So everybody has that, everybody's fresh. Everybody's intense. You know, everybody's trying to play hard. So it was definitely fun to watch.
Trying to show off in front of the American audience.
Yeah, that too.
That's what they were really trying to do. Like,
and they did too.
Oh yeah,
they did a great job. It was really awesome to watch.
So that's not about your experience going to the game, right? Like, that's a whole different thing. So not only going into the combine, I don't think you probably watched a full rugby league match before. You maybe seen some highlights or you know, the Russell Crowe video trying to do the short explainer on what rugby league is,
right?
But so that not only do you know, get to experience a rugby league game for the first time watching it, but you're live in Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium on the field.
Yeah.
Because you have to, like, this is, what was that entire experience like for you in general? Like, how cool is that? What was it? What was the whole thing around just being in that stadium?
So I got to bring it back a little bit because they told us we're leaving the hotel at like 5:30. To get to the stadium. I don't remember exactly what time. And I don't think they realized how long it was going to take to get to the stadium, especially with all the traffic. So we were late. We were late coming there. And we were probably maybe 15 minutes away while the first game had just started. Or maybe like 10 minutes away while the first game had just started. So by the time we actually got there, like, there was probably only like 10... maybe 20 minutes left in the first half. That was before I really even walked in the stadium. So I think we were supposed to go, the bus was supposed to drop us off, I think, where the players got dropped off, but they wouldn't let our bus down there. And so we got off the bus, got back on the bus, went somewhere else, got off the bus, got back on the bus, couldn't go in there.
Oh, no.
So they finally dropped us off like at the main spot where everybody else would go in and scan their tickets or whatever. Like I said, I had to leave for the airport from the stadium. So I had to bring all my bags and everything with me. And they told me that I should have been fine because we weren't going to go where everybody else was going to go. I walk up and then we did. So then there were issues. So they told me there's this white van in the parking lot and I had to drop off my bag. Yeah.
That's,
I had to
go check my bags
in. Right. Right. I had to go check my bags in at this van. So I go to the van, you know, paid it, get my bags checked in. And I'm like the last player basically.
You're the last person to get inside the stadium at that point, it seems like.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh man.
And so I walk in, I get in and everything. Like I said, like, there's maybe like 25 minutes like left in the first half. I sit down for 5 minutes, I'm watching the game, I'm like I said, I'm hooked. Like, it's
like, you want to be the fan and sit there and I'm watching.
Yeah. I was hooked. I'm watching for maybe 5 minutes. Somebody taps me on the shoulder. It's like, "Hey, you've been selected. We got to go down to the field. Like, let's go." I'm like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, you've been selected. Congratulations. Like, we got to go down to the field."
You go away so you can't see anything.
Yeah. So I was definitely shocked. I think I didn't expect to get selected at all. Like, I thought they had already selected people by the time I got there, 'cause I didn't see some guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're walking maybe like 5-8 minutes, like through the stadium, going through some locker rooms and everything. So that was, I mean, it was pretty cool. We went through Allegiant Stadium's a sweet stadium. It's brand new. So it was super nice. Yeah. But by the time we got down to the field, like there was maybe 5-8 minutes left in the game, you know? So it's like, or not in the game, but in the first half.
Yeah. Right.
So, so we get down there
of like 4 minutes of a half.
I probably watched a total of like 25 minutes of the games. I know, which stunk. Cause they wanted to do interviews with us, you know, they wanted to,
media
do some other things with us. So I didn't get a whole lot of time to actually watch the games, which stunk. But like the experience of being down there at the field and going through some of the locker rooms and seeing all the players going in the tunnel and looking at them and looking at myself and be like, okay, like I'm kind of these guys' size, like it wouldn't be that crazy. I mean, I might have to gain like maybe 10 pounds, but I think I could do that. Like, yeah.
I like that you're like, I'm judging everybody. Like, all
right. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You're like,
sizing myself up. Yeah. I don't know who their wing was, but we pretty much had the same build.
For who? Do you remember?
They were like a burgundy color, I think.
Oh, Manly.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it would have been
a light skinned guy. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Oh man, name slips me, but I'll think of it here in a minute. But yeah, he scored a try.
To
go back and it was anyway. You continue.
He had like a breakaway try and the stadium erupted.
He is quick.
Yeah, stadium erupted. It was so sweet to watch. Like, but yeah, I mean, being down there, like. Being on the field, just seeing all the fans. Like I met a couple of fans and they were talking to me about how they got started with rugby league and how excited they were to be there and how they travel, you know, all over the place to go watch all the fans, you know, so, or watch all the games. Yeah. So it was a crazy experience. It was definitely, I was shocked the whole time. I don't think I actually like realized what was going on until afterwards. And looking back, but yeah, it was such a cool experience.
As somebody who's not really involved much in the sport of rugby league, Jason Saab is his name, by the way. I knew it'd come to me. But somebody who's not as involved in, you know, the rugby league community, you're probably right. You probably didn't understand the magnitude of this event. And it was did it sell out Allegiant Stadium? No, but is it the largest rugby league event that's ever taken place in America? Absolutely. Is it the first time that it's been
outside? It sounded like Allegiant Stadium wasn't sold out, but the entire like bottom section was packed. There were still people in the upper deck had people in it. So it was it might not have been completely sold out, but it was a huge event. And
it was loud too.
Yeah. And you could hear it.
So let me ask you this, right? This is kind of an interesting, you know, you've been selected now. What other details can you share with us that you know of? Like do you have a date yet? Obviously one date that's really important for you coming up first, probably, which is, as you said before, is you're getting married. So congratulations.
Yes. Thank you.
And I'm sure she's very excited that you've been selected to go to Australia. Is she going to go with you?
We talked about it. She's a nurse. She's actually a nurse in Grand Rapids. There's definitely some scheduling things there with that.
Congratulations, honey. We just got married. See you in a couple weeks.
And I told her by calling her on the field, and I had maybe like 5% on my phone too, which is also another struggle when I had to go to the airport. 30 minutes like later. But I called her. I was like, hey, I made it. And she's like, text me. I'm freaking out. Like, what are we going to like, you know, just excited, like
excited and nervous at the same time. Right.
And then she's like trying to plan like where we're going to live and where we're going to stay. I'm like, I literally just got picked. I have no clue where we're going. Like,
she's already looking up. Are we going to Queensland or are we going to right. like New South Wales right. or Queensland? Like,
right. So she was already trying to plan and get things figured out. And
listen, she's a nurse. They'll accept her anywhere. She's right, got to right. take some tests and she'll be fine.
That, so. Yeah. And that's what we talked about too. So in case she really wanted to go. So, we might do something where she comes down for a couple of days and then leaves and, or like, comes towards the end of the training and
right.
and then we leave together or something like that. I have no clue when I'm actually going to go down there. Like I said, I just had my pro day yesterday. So I talked with my football agent and some guys at PSM and we're going to, you know, try to figure something out. Because I guess I don't really know exactly how everything is working. They told me when I got selected that it was kind of on my own time, whenever it worked in my schedule to go to Australia, and have that opportunity. And they seem pretty definitive on not really having a timeline for us to be down there.
Yeah.
So,
cause right now it's an interesting time because
right.
you know, the start of the season. And so, and I think this is one thing that, that I think was when it was put out by the NRL that they were going to do this, everybody said, how's an American going to come now, train for 2 weeks and make it on a team? And I think it's more, you're getting the opportunity to go and do more like a combine, like a preseason yeah. camp almost.
But yeah.
my guess is you'll probably end up doing that with like somebody, like a team in the New South Wales Cup or in the
yeah.
Queensland Cup. So like the level down from the NRL.
Because yeah. And that's kind of what they had explained too. Yeah. They were saying, you know, the difference is kind of like NRL and they're in their leagues out there. They have like different tiers.
Right.
So kind of like baseball or soccer
yeah.
where they right. have, you know, A teams, B teams, you know, things like that. So yeah. they said the possibility of you really making like a main team is probably pretty slim.
I'm not trying to be a dad.
I'm a realist.
I'm pompous, but it's gonna be hard. Those guys have been playing. Yeah, it'd be years.
Slim. Right. It'd be pretty slim to make like the Rabdos or something like that. So it's like,
right. Here's the exciting thing for me as somebody who sits on board of directors for the USARL and somebody who's the podcast host. What this yeah. shows to me, and I don't know how you feel about it, but I sit here and I look, you know, great. You're going with this opportunity to go and train with, you know, a professional level team, whether it's the, you know, level down or whether it's the NRL in some capacity, yeah. like you're going to train a team, you're going to get that experience. You then get that, we'll call it you get bit by the rugby league bug, whereas like,
yeah,
you
know, yeah.
now I'm excited. This is fun.
Right.
You're going to go,
come back.
Okay. Come back to the US. Where in the US can I play
yeah.
right now? Or in some cases, like we don't have a team up in Michigan for the in the domestic competition here in the US. We've got, you know, Florida and California,
yeah.
Utah and the Northeast. You know, it's like maybe we, you know, you get some of your football players, you know, buddies yeah. together. And you're like, let's put together a team and try to compete for that national championship. And then, you know, Mikey, you get the opportunity to get looked at by
right.
the USA Hawks to try to compete at a World Cup.
And yeah.
this is my long-term goal is to have yeah, folks like right. yourself and, you know, folks like
yeah.
Marquez Bayless and, you know, and I just forgot his the guy got selected. The other gentleman who got selected, he was the tight end.
I couldn't even tell you. I'm so bad with names.
I think Kyle is his name. Maybe I forget.
I'm so bad with names.
Anyway, so the other gentleman who's going to go down and train as well.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's like to have you guys come back and be this new voice for yeah. rugby league to say, hey, listen, you know, right now, domestic competition in the US, they're not paid. They're just lovers of the sport, but it's like a desire to play for the national team at a World Cup
yeah.
to help drive yeah. them to the next phase where you could say, well, I didn't make it here. Maybe I can go play over in England, right?
Because
it's a whole nother competition over there. And maybe in a year or so, like I do get a chance to go down and play in Australia for whatever it may be. So, or in New Zealand or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely one of those things where I love to compete and I love to like just play sports in general. So if a door closes with the NFL, I know they have the UFL now and there's other avenues with football, but it's still very slim. Like there's really not a whole lot of opportunities with football if doors get closed. So a lot of it is just, are you available? Can you still do the things that you can do? And honestly, I feel like rugby would be one of those avenues where you could still show like, hey, I'm still active. I'm still able to run. I'm still able to tackle, to play on a team, you know, like.
Listen, they have a thing called masters. I don't know if you've heard of this, but there's guys that are, it's plus 35 and people yell at me.
I think I did talk to somebody
in this past week. And I was like, I'm done. I retired years ago, but there's guys that are 70, 75 years old. Right. That are out there playing rugby league, man.
Right. So it's really just, you know, how much do you love being out there? How much do you love playing, you know? Yeah. So for me, I think I would definitely have to take it, it'd be a huge transition. So I definitely have to take a step back, look at it, think, right, you know, plan, and figure it out. But it'd be definitely something that I'd be interested in doing, you know, if football doesn't work out in that way, for sure.
I'll be somebody who, is a little, what's the word I want to use? Possessive, and I think you should just stick with rugby league.
right.
Sorry, football. Thank you.
It's all good.
I was like, I just want to keep you and everybody else that played in the. I mean, because I think that's one of the things. Like, I want all of those guys in the combine. Like, because you're all athletes, man, and you all are incredible athletes.
After seeing those guys out there play and watching them, I'm like, and doing it a little bit myself. Guys would get hooked so easy. And I really think the only reason that there maybe isn't as much traction is just there's just not enough resources at all. Like I was having a conversation with somebody. It's like, if they just even had that in my area, that might've been something I got plugged in with, you know, and they have club teams at some schools when it's really just a handful of guys or girls that just like rugby and they play like for fun pretty much. But it's like, it's nothing that, it's no opportunity for athletes, really. Like, there's no avenue where the people can be like, I can make a whole lot of money off of this. So well, if there's say, some
rugby in the U.S. is, I mean, rugby union has a small, like, I mean, they're a good, they're bigger than rugby league right now.
Yeah.
But it's still not like, it's not NRL level. It's not NBA. It's not NFL.
Yeah. And I really think that is the only thing I think keeping maybe some athletes from playing just because it's just not as big. But like, if it really was,
try to find you jobs that go along with
that. right.
Yeah, you work in sales. Let's bring it in.
Right. And it just, you know, it only takes a few named big people to get something going. You know how The Rock did the XFL and how they merged the USFL and now they're the UFL. You know, it just takes a couple big name people
to give The Rock a call and you let them know that we're
in the chat. They say when I shave my beard, that's who I look like. So maybe I can pull it off and
there you go
and figure it out. So,
well, I'm like, hey, I want to be cognizant of your time. You're a busy guy. You got wedding stuff to plan. So that's always important. Tell me about it. We want to keep up with you. We want to make sure that like things are going well. Where can people who listen to the podcast, what's your social media handles so we can follow you? We'll attach it to the video as well. So
it's been a minute since I plugged myself.
Yeah, I know. This is it. This is the moment you get to plug yourself.
Right. And you can find me on Instagram. It's Mikey__. And that's really about it. So
underscore, it's fine. Most people, it's like
underscore. It's Mikey.
There's a lot of rugby league fans on Twitter too, or X or whatever it is. Like,
yeah, so just you know, at Warriors19 on Twitter. I'm not really on there.
I haven't done that in years.
Right, I haven't been on Twitter in a minute. So, but
we appreciate it. Hey, we're gonna keep up to date. We'll continue to check in with you, see how things are going. We wish you just the best of luck.
Appreciate it.
We want to be biased and we want to make sure that you stick with rugby league. You know, you go over there, train. Hopefully, you get a run out with one of the teams. If even for a game, right?
I'm a competitive guy, I'm not gonna go there with no experience. I'm gonna try to do what I can to go there prepared. So.
Right. We'll see. It's time to start getting some teams up in Michigan now. So
for real.
The Saginaw Valley, whatever you guys want to call yourselves, rugby league team.
Yeah, for real. Hey, if there's any trainers that want to get with me, I'll definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
We'll do that. We'll try to find some people for you. So, really appreciate it. you know, this is Mikey Woolridge. Thanks for joining us, man. We'll be right back after this break. Fans, so glad that you stuck around. Really enjoyed talking with Michael. He's super excited, which is great. And we will also want to wish him, you know, the best of luck on his marriage coming up here in a couple weeks. So, I mean, talk about like an interesting time in that guy's life. So, we want to continue with this great episode of talking with these American, amazing American athletes. Let's put that adjective in front of it, like the qualifier. Like, these are amazing athletes. Watching both the men and the women in this combine was just phenomenal. It was such an experience and so cool to be there in person. And so I'm so excited for our next guest. Our next guest hails from the great state of Ohio by way of California, but in Ohio now. So I can claim her as like one of my own brothers and sisters from the great state of Ohio, up in Cleveland, Ohio, close to my home as well. Her name is none other than Markea Bayless. Markea, welcome to Rugby League in America. How excited are you right now?
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm like through the roof, you know. I'm still on cloud nine, you know. Like, I am packing my bags and stuff now, but that's like, it still doesn't feel real.
Right. So as of recording this episode, and because we've got that's been such a busy week of me trying to come back and, you know, record as much as possible. As of me recording this, you are literally taking your bags, putting clothes in them to leave on a plane tomorrow to fly to Australia to play rugby league.
I'm like, I cannot believe it. Like, it's crazy. Like, I, you know, it's signing up, all this whole process and everything has just been like crazy. And that's all just like happening tomorrow.
So let's go back a couple of weeks. And, you know, obviously everybody was kind of involved in a different way of how they were notified that they were invited to the combine. We talked to Michael earlier and Michael was invited, you know, somebody wrote him like, hey, to fill out an application and put that in. I think yours may be a little bit different. Were you invited before you went and played in the Nines tournament? Because you played with Roots, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I played with Roots. And yeah, I was invited, you know, prior to the tournament starting, and I got the invite, you know, that I was invited to the combine, and I was like, okay, you know, this is getting real, you know, this is serious now.
Well, that's exciting, because not only did you do the combine, you did the combine after playing, you played in however many nines, 2 days of the rugby league, and it's like, yeah, beating each other up in the semifinals, which was, I mean, great semifinal. Like, I'm sorry, like, you didn't get there, but it was just great to watch you guys play. You came up against really tough Ontario team. Like, oh, yeah. Really, like, that was a little bit, I was like, oh man, that's going to be a tough one. So, the Ospreys are, but yeah, they had quite a few, Canadian internationals on that team. So we'll let them slide on that one. but to not only play nines and play it with Roots, you know, I obviously love Roots and I love, you know, the Granbys who are doing such great things with Roots Rugby right now, and Curtis and everybody else who's involved with Roots. It's so fantastic. But then you're like, you know what, now I'm just going to do a combine and try to run my fastest 20 meter, I'm going to do a Bronco, because, you know, why not? So walk me through your mindset on why on earth you decided not only to play, but then do the combine after.
You know, I was just mentally preparing myself, because I didn't realize that the combine, you know, was after, like, directly after the tournament, you know, leading up to it the next day, not even like 12 hours, you know. So I mentally was already preparing for that, for the worst, you know, practicing, you know, did some Bronco practice beforehand, you know, so I was like, just going to do it, go out there and do my best. So hopefully, you know what I did. So that was great.
And so obviously we'll just go straight to the Bronco. How was your Bronco after playing 2 days of nines?
Did you feel
like you did all right? Like, you get halfway through and you're like, oh shit, like, just head down, like, with 90 mile an hour winds going one way and then right back into the 90 mile an hour winds the other way.
And seriously, I'm not, the winds were outrageous that day. You know, the only thing that kept me going was like the NRL crew that was there. Literally every time I was at the line, they were like, just three hard steps. I'm like, okay, I got this.
Yeah. I really did. Everybody who's not running a Bronco is like, oh yeah, just three hard steps and you got this. And you're like, yeah. Well, that's awesome. So, you know, you had, you know, the Bronco test, you had all the other ones. Were there any, what were the tests that you found, I guess, most exciting to you that showed off your skill and showed off your athleticism? Because obviously you are an athlete. I've seen you play. We can go back and watch all the live recordings that we had of Roots Women on field one, which you were on there quite a bit. You know, talk to me about like what event in the combine that you thought was like, oh yeah, this is where I felt like I really excelled and stood out from the others.
You know, we did quite a bit of things, but I think for like the gym, we went to the UFC gym and we did some bench and we did some like deadlift, like mid thigh strength pulls, some neck tests and things like that. And I feel like for me personally, I am very much in the gym kind of person. And I feel like I nailed a lot of the benchmarks for, you know, that we were trying to hit in the gym.
You're flexing on people too, right? Like, let me show you how it's done. So we watched a lot of people. I personally was excited about like the standing vertical jump. And so like, yeah. I watched Scout who I thought she had a great vertical jump. Do you know who ended up winning? Did you win any of those competitions? Like the rankings on those?
They did. So for top three, me, Scout and Nira actually got all three for the vertical and for the mid thighs. Pulls all those standing machines. Yeah, so it was great.
Yeah, it's like that. Let me just flex it. Yeah, I don't think I got a picture. I got a picture of Scout. She's like halfway in the air and her hair is just like flying out.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I love she that.
Full hair going on that day. But it's good. You know, so this is a unique opportunity, right? Like you now are getting a chance, you know, to clarify for people who are listening or watching, like you haven't been signed by a team. Right. Like, so, but there's the opportunity to go and train. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, like, do you go to Queensland first and then New South Wales, or are you sticking in one part of the country to train the entire time?
So we're going to Brisbane first. That's going to be like our main location. That's where they're holding like a women's national tournament. So we're going to be playing in that tournament there. So we're going to train with some of the First Nation girls, the Indigenous team out there. So that'll be really nice. So we're going to do a full immersion thing with them, hang out with them for the whole week, you know, and then we're going to play Thursday through Saturday and do some training there. And then we're going to go down to, I'm going to butcher one of the names, but I cannot get it. It's where the Raiders play.
Oh, Canberra.
Canberra. So we're going to go there for a visit, and then we're going to go drive down to Sydney.
Okay.
Wow. So you're going full schedule.
And how long are you there?
We're going to be there for like 2.5 weeks.
Woo, that's a lot in 2.5 weeks.
So. Yeah. It was literally like, bam, this one, bam, this one, bam, this one. I was like, okay, let's go.
Oh, that's fun. Like, I think it's, you know, an experience of a lifetime, right? Because, you know, what we know here in America is that there hasn't been pathways at this particular point for American women and men like to go and play in, you know, the NRL or the Super League. There's been some qualifications. Like I know some, name slips me, and that happened earlier today. She went and played for Wigan up in the Super League, but she was able to play because she was qualified. Like her husband was a UK citizen. And I can't remember her name, and it drives me nuts right now. I'm so sorry. I literally talked to her like a week ago. I felt really bad. But I talked to so many people. So anyway, so this is a unique opportunity now. Like you're going to get to go and train and play. You know, what do you think are going to be your biggest challenges? Like, I mean, we know you can play. You're a U.S. Hawk. Like, so you got your first cap this year, this past 2023, like this past year. Cap will go up full circle year from today. So you got your first cap against Jamaica. You've been, you know, you were playing PR sevens, which we won't hold it against you too much for playing Union, but we realize that you've come to the light side, if you will, of everything.
Yeah.
And then now going down there. Yeah, those are some big challenges to hit those two milestones in your professional career. Now there's this challenge. What do you think is going to be like the hardest thing for you right now moving forward? going to Australia in
life? Honestly, I feel like just adjusting, you know, like my body to the time zone, I feel like, and just getting used to like their like level of probably like trainings, you know, because we, where I'm at, you know, we don't get a lot of, definitely a lot of league training like every day. So it'll be nice to like train every single day. So it'll just be really nice, you know. So I feel like that's something I just, you know, gonna work on, just personal like body tiredness.
Yeah. And so for those who may not know your background, you're actually playing rugby union down in Columbus with the Squirrels, who are a very well-known team in the Midwest for women, because unfortunately in the U.S., the women's rugby league, like I will call it division, if you will, is kind of limited. You've got some new teams that are emerging in Utah, and you've got Jacksonville Axe Women, and you've got the Tampa Mischief, and the Valkyrie are kind of a new team. And then, of course, you have Roots, which kind of pulls in people from all over. You know, as far as that goes, like, do you think that this is a unique opportunity to help kind of grow the sport here in the U.S. for the women's side?
Oh, 100%. Like, I have so many girls now that are like, what's league? I've never heard of league. Like, this is great, you know? And I'm like, yes, come to the side.
Right. You're like, we'll convert you. It's easy. Like, you'll have so much more fun.
Yes. I actually had one of my teammates come out, you know, and play, and she had a great time. You know, she loved it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where did she come play in Vegas in the Nines?
She did, on the Dead Pelicans team. You know, Ashley and Cross, you know, so both of them are from Cleveland too. So they also got on the team out there and they loved it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think that's, it's nice. And it's one of those things where I continue to hope to see that more of that growth for the women's side. You know, you and I talked about it before, as I am the strongest advocate that this event, there's more opportunity for the growth of the women's rugby league in the U.S. than it is for the men's right now. And I think with you going over, like you're setting the benchmark for everybody.
Yeah. No, it is. It's like, it's paved the way, you know, that's one step closer for women, you know, everybody for America. Like, it's all just great. Like, I'm so excited. I'm so like honored. I'm thrilled. Like, I cannot wait.
Yeah. And so from your standpoint, when you think about how, you know, coming back, like, obviously, you know, the goal is to come back and for somebody to go call you on the phone and go, hey, we'd like you to come back to Australia to play. You know, for you, how do you kind of manage like one, expectations, but then what do you hope to bring back and help the growth for here in the U.S.? You know, what are some of the things that you're kind of like looking for? Like, hey, I want to learn X, Y, and Z, but I also want to bring back this to the rest of my team, because, you know, with that, you're going to get, you know, expert training, you know, expert coaching and stuff like that. Not that AD and Ben aren't great coaches for the U.S. national team, but, you know, you're getting more and more like highly focused every single day. You know, do you have anything in mind that you're like really looking forward to kind of bringing back and sharing with everybody?
I'm excited to just bring back like the intensity, you know. I want people to like really like dive into like league, and like, you know, like I want people not to be hesitant, essentially, not when it comes to league. I want them to go out there, be confident. I want to bring the tempo. I want to bring the energy. You know, that's something I am hoping to like, you know, bring back with some knowledge and stuff, and really can teach them it so they feel confident, so, you know, they can up their like level, you know.
As somebody who's played sevens professionally, and somebody who plays, you know, high level union, do you feel as though some of the women currently playing don't really are afraid of league, or maybe it's, you know, because you said like they're a little scared, like they want to bring back the intensity, and they're like maybe a little bit hesitant. Do you think that this is maybe something that we can do better as the U.S. governing body, but also like the women's side of it, to say, you know, league is for women as well, so we can bring them over from the union side to play?
Yeah, I feel like sometimes, you know, they see and they're like, oh, I'm not so sure. But I feel like once they get a taste of it and they actually like play, they're like, wow, this is great. You know, so I hope that we can, you know, do a better job of just like promoting it better.
Right. And hopefully, and that something, you know, something like that promotes like, okay, now you take your your Columbus Squirrels, and now you have both the Squirrels and they can play their union, and then once union season's over, they can go and play league in summertime and kind of go from there. Exactly. Is that like an ultimate hope for you, that like, okay, now you're done with union, now you come play league for the rest of the year?
Yes, exactly. And some of them would love that, you know what I mean? Because it would be great. That would be a great transition.
I think it's kind of a unique thing. They tried it somewhere else, and I forget where. The Beavers up in the Toronto area, the Bradford Beavers. So they play both league and union in the same club, and they play both. So that's pretty exciting.
I love that.
So let's go back to the combine, right? Let's go back to you've gone through, you know, your Bronco, you did all your outside stuff in the Hurricane, where it was bloody cold and because of that wind. And then also you've got all the other, you know, elements that are out there. A little bit of rain happened as well. Talk to me a bit about, after you're kind of finished, one, how do you feel from having 3 days of intense workouts and Broncos and full matches and everything? How do you feel when you're done? And then how did it feel going into Allegiant Stadium? And at what point did you know that you had been selected?
You know, I was, after three days of intense, just running, tackling, all types of just exertion, you know, I actually was pretty okay. You know, I fueled myself as much as I could, you know, did the best.
Running on adrenaline.
Yeah, no, seriously, just going crazy. Like, you know, cause just doing my best, you know, cause it was a lot at the combine, you know, a lot of people, a lot of things going on, you know? So, and then afterwards, you know, I got to the stadium a little bit later cause I, you know, my family was in town visiting. So I got
fantastic.
And which is really nice, you know, my grandma, my aunt.
So this makes it even better story now. I thought you were saying you're a little bit late because of what Michael said, where the bus like was late showing up and things like that, stuck in traffic.
No, for me, I went to visit my family and stuff. So then like afterwards, had head back to where they were from. So I got to the stadium and I got a call from AD, like as I was getting to the like section. And then, you know, Mike taps me and he's like, you've been chosen. And I was like, what? My best friend just starts crying immediately. He's like, we got to go.
Were you with all the other folks with roots that were up in the section up there, like sitting together? Or were you with the combine people?
I was with the combine people. Yeah, I was just meeting up with them. But, you know, one of my best friends, Poe, she also got selected to go to the combine. So me and her were also hanging out with my family and stuff, you know, because we're real close.
That's fantastic.
So it was really nice. It was overall, it was just like so much just like love, 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 love all around.
And I know because I heard, you know, obviously when you got announced on the field, which I'll come back to, but I heard like the Roots people just went crazy up in that. We were up in that area. They were lost their minds up there. So, very big advocates of yours, by the way, in case you didn't know that.
So, I love them.
Big advocates. Okay, so then it happens. You get told, Mike comes up, tells you, Mike Castle, by the way, who was kind of, you know, one of the people running the combine, also the head coach for the Canadian Ravens women's national team. So he comes up and tells you, then tell me what it's like to walk out on the field with Meg, who also got selected. And I just forgot his name. And Mikey and
Chris.
Is that his? No. What's is it Chris? Yeah, Chris Leach. Yeah, that's right. Sorry. I was trying to remember the other guy's name. I forgot it earlier with Michael, with Mike as well. And Chris Leach. What's it like for the 40,000 fans to walk out and to let everybody know that you got selected to go to Australia to train with the potential to get signed by an NRLW club?
It was awesome, you know, just like everybody being cheering and screaming, you know, and I could see the fans, I guess all the Roots and all my other friends over there just screaming, you know, all the videos of them, like they were directly across.
Yeah, that's right.
So it was nice. I could see them all. It was awesome. You know, just, it was just an overall just fantastic experience, you know?
Well, that is something I kind of want to get your opinion too. Like you've been playing rugby league for a while. Like, what was it like? What do you think this NRL experience was overall for you? Not just from the combine, but for everything, the nines, the combine. Do you, you know, people talk about on Australian media, like, oh, was it really a success? And they talk about ratings and bullshit like that, that you know, I've talked about extensively when load of crap, but what was it like, you know, as a rugby league fan, as a player, what do you think it meant to rugby league here in the US?
It was huge. It was huge to have so many people just interested in not only just rugby, you know, but rugby league, like, you know, to have, it was like 40,000 fans that came out there. That's insane. And for me as a rugby fan, like that, to walk in, because, you know, so the doubters, you know, somebody was like, oh, there's going to be nobody there, like, da da da. And when we walked into the stadium and it was just like thousands of people, we were just like, what? This is crazy. It was great. It's amazing to see it.
And did, you know, do you think that it was good? You know, obviously the combine is a great experience, and we hope that we can do more. I'm for one for doing multiple combines around the country to give more men and women the opportunity, you know, because there's probably a ton of people even within your union club that would be potential athletes that could go and train or could go and play or whatever it may be. But as far as, you know, all the events surrounding like the nines and stuff, do you think that that's something that they should continue to do for the next couple of years? Like those events, do you think that helps grow the game as well?
Yeah, absolutely. It gives people something to like work towards, something to like, you know, things to hit. I feel like it'd be great to have not only multiple combines, but, you know, it would be a fantastic thing. I feel like it'd grow the game. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, we want to try to get them to play a game here in like the Midwest / Southeast somewhere.
That would be nice.
it'd be a bit of that side. Right. Yeah, I know. Well, I guess it's hard for us who are here on the quote unquote East Coast Midwest because it's a 3-hour difference. And so those late night games. I don't know if they did. I don't know if you actually got shown on the Fox Sports broadcast. I'll have to go back and take a look at that. I don't know if that actually happened. So now I'm curious because if it is, I'll record it and I'll send it over to you because I'd like to see if it is. But that's fantastic. So days away, give me the one unique experience you're looking to have outside of rugby league while in Australia.
Honestly, I'm not sure. You know, I haven't had much thought, you know, into like outside of rugby, what I would do. I'm so like die hard about all the rugby stuff that's going on. I honestly didn't think about that. For me, I like, if I can get to like the beach or something like that, that would be also a highlight.
Right there in Brisbane, so you'll be all right. Like,
And relaxing.
Like holding koalas, petting a kangaroo, something like that.
Yeah, they were talking about, they're the guys that they're so funny. They're like, oh, we could take up to the opera. And one of the guys was like, I don't think they want to go to the opera. He's like, maybe some kangaroos. And I was like, oh, I could be interested in that.
The opera. I mean, maybe going to the Sydney Opera House, like that's cool to go see it.
Yeah, but an opera, but kangaroos. Yeah, that'd be nice to see some animals. I'd love to.
It would have been even funnier if you would have just got, oh yes, and Vivaldi's third one was my favorite. It, like you said, like he has some random, like really blowing their mind.
And they'd be like, wow.
Well, it's, you know, it's one of the things that we do. I know Lance on Great American Rugby, he gives thanks and gratitude. But what I want to do is I want to make sure that people follow you. I want to make sure that people can follow your journey. What is your social media so that we can share that with everybody and you can have people follow you? And, you know, what do you need from us, from Rugby League in America? What would you like to have? Like, how can we help you in any way? Like, to do what we can do. Like, is there, you know, cats and dogs that we need to make sure are okay back home for you? Like family members that are okay. Yeah. Check in on my significant other every now and then. Like that's how some people would say.
Yeah. Well, I do have a couple pets, you know, I have 3 dogs and 2 cats, man. Whoa. Oh, yeah. I'm a
bad animals.
I do.
Okay. Well, that makes sense too. So.
Yeah. It would be nice. I do have some socials, you know, it's just my first name and my last name. You know, yeah. I have a fitness account. So if you guys want to follow me for any like fitness stuff, I post all like my like gym, you know, workouts and stuff like that, you know, training a bunch on my, it's like Mar_barbell.
I can tell you everybody, like I've seen Marque, like do fitness stuff, fit as can be. Like I challenge any rugby league players right now in any country on her level of fitness. Like it's can't say freaking nature. That doesn't sound right, but we saw how fast you were in that 20-meter sprint.
Thank you.
I'm pretty sure that you won that one, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
by a substantial margin is what I should say. So we won't give out finals, but I do know that it was won by you in a substantial number. So again, after playing 2 days full of nines.
So. Yeah. So I'll take it. Thanks.
Just brush your shoulders out there a little bit. So follow you, like, first name, last name. We'll make sure you follow on there. Any last things that you'd like to say before you head to Australia tomorrow?
Just thank you for reaching out. Thanks for all the support for everybody who's just said kind words, donated to GoFundMes all for my journey and everything. It's been a long time coming. I've been working hard, so I just appreciate all the support and love from everybody. It's great.
It's fantastic. Markea, I greatly appreciate you coming on. I wish you nothing of the best. We'll try to catch up a little bit. Maybe when I talk with Meg in a week or two, we're planning to talk with her as well. Okay. Make sure we show the Canadians some love. Maybe we'll catch up with you real quick and say, hey, what's happening? Did you go do this? Did you get to the beach? Things like that. So we'll check that out. We really appreciate you coming on. It is an absolute pleasure. And I wish you nothing of the best. And I hope that in 3 weeks' time, we're talking to you with a signed NRLW contract. And I record you on my television going and just laying somebody out.
Thanks. Me too.
or breaking away for a 90 meter try or something like that. So, we appreciate it. That's Markea Bayless. Really appreciate you joining. We'll be right back after this break.
Welcome back, everybody. Once again, I want to thank Mikey and I want to thank Markea for joining me on the podcast. They are two phenomenal athletes, first and foremost. And I look forward to seeing what they can do. I know Markea is actually already over there. By the time I'm recording this, I'm hoping we get to see some video highlights of what's happening. I know the NRL is going to cover them. Looking forward to hopefully seeing Markea playing in the NRLW. She is an absolute monster on the field. If you need any proof of that, you can go back and watch, I think, London Nines of last year. She, on a five tackle set, I think she had five tackles in a row. She was just unstoppable. Exciting to hear what Mikey's talking about too, with the, we'll call it the growth maybe with football players and how we can use him as a benchmark to say, hey, you have the opportunity to not only go and play this unique sport, in Australia, but they could play here in the US too. Right. And that's our goal, is we want them to play here in the US. We want them to help build out the national team. We want to build a stronger domestic competition. And so I think that's really exciting in the grand scheme of things. We'll see what happens. We're going to keep up to date with all of them. We'll check back in a couple of weeks and see how things are going. I know that we're going to also have Meg on, who's with the Canadian Ravens, the other player selected, probably in the next week once she's kind of got her footing in Australia and some things are good with her over there. If you want to stay up to date, we've got another great episode coming out that I recorded with two new Rugby League fans, their reaction video guys from YouTube. And so it'll be really kind of fun to chat with them. That's in the queue coming up here very shortly. We had a great time chatting with them, an hour and a half or so, just learning how they're going to be advocates of this game. So if you want to stay up to date on all those, you can follow us on YouTube, which is where all of our videos come out. You can follow us on our wherever you get your podcast from. Remember, Chasing Kangaroos is a part of, or we're a part, excuse me, we're a part of the Chasing Kangaroos media network with Rugby League in America here. And then, of course, RLA Podcast on TikTok, on Facebook, Instagram, and Podcast RLA on Twitter. Exciting episode. Fun stuff. Glad you guys enjoyed it. Hopefully you enjoyed it. I know I enjoyed it. But again, thanks to Mikey and thanks to Markea again. Wish him all the best of luck, and best of luck for Mikey on his wedding as well. Until next time, my name is Dustin Zaire, and this has been Rugby League in America.